Hey, look who has his TV clothes on, huh?
Your boy is ready.
Jumped in that booth.
Jumped in that Superman buffoon booth over here. Actually just moved over to the side here in the rafters here in the stands and switched it up a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Getting ready.
Yeah. What went into the decision to wear the this outfit tonight?
You know, I usually try on a road trip to at least have one purple, you know, to fully represent the Kings. And I felt like, you know what, this would be, you know, the Phoenix Suns, they got a little bit of purple in
That's right.
You know, and so OKC, I thought, yeah, this would be a good one to round out the road trip with.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing that killed me about the, if you remember the play-in, which seems like so long ago now.
Yep.
So many teams had purple on the court, and the Kings were not one of the teams that had the purple. But right, that's just the way it. Utah did, I think, and as you said, Phoenix. But anyway, onward and upward tonight, the Kings against the Denver Nuggets. Do you want to hear what your favorite instigator has to say on the YouTube chat?
Yeah, what we got? What we got?
Ultimate Kingpin hashtag Brown, get out of town.
Oh my gosh, what we just had Scott Hastings on for 20 minutes telling us we got the right guy. Mike Brown's the guy. And we going to let some Yahoo named Ultimate Kingpin tell us that our coach had, come on. Yeah. This is America in 2024, man. It's crazy. Ultimate Kingpin knows better than the people who are in charge and the experts.
Manny, too legit. White in drapes. What are you guys expecting from the guys tonight in this back-to-back game? Think we'll be able to execute to get this win, or will we be too gassed, drapes?
I don't think we'll be too gassed. I think, you know, this is one of those games where it's the last game before All-Star break. In my mind, you should leave it all on the line, right? Like, because you got a week off. And so, you know, going in on a three-game losing streak, that would leave a sour taste in my mouth. And so I think the boys will be ready. I'm interested to see De'Aaron Fox because, you know, he laid it on the line last night, had a big game last night. You know, I want him to come out strong and have a big game tonight as well, and obviously the center matchup I'm looking for. I think our guys will be ready. I would love to see Trey Lyles play tonight. I think he is. You know, like I said earlier, he has been around the team. You know, he had that illness, sat out last night, but he's been around the team, was at the meal today and everything. So I think our boys will be ready tonight, man.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance that the Nuggets will be without their starting backcourt because Jamal Murray, KCP, both, I think at last official note, they were questionable.
Yes.
And, you know, the Nuggets, as Scott Hastings detailed for us when it came on the show, they played so well in that game against the Lakers on national TV, and the Kings knocked them around, and so did the Bucks. So they're looking to get right before the break as well.
Yeah, this is a Nuggets team who had been playing some great basketball before last week or so. You know, they had battled all their way. I think they might have been tied for first at one point, but since they lost their last two, I think they've dropped back down to fourth, and I think that's a big game for them. You know, without Jamal Murray and KCP, you're talking about their second-best offensive player and arguably their best on-ball perimeter defender, and so this is a huge loss for them. But they're a deep team, man. They got other guys. They got some young guys. Christian Brown, who's out there warming up right now. You know, Peyton Watson. You know, they got some guys, man. And it all flows, obviously, with Joker. And so, you know, if you could lose to Charlotte, if you could lose to Portland, you could lose to a shorthanded Denver team, too.
Yeah. Dan Issel ain't coming through that door, though. I'll tell you that.
What about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf?
Oh, former King and Nugget. Yeah. Man, that guy could shoot.
Robert Pack?
Yeah, Robert Pack. Oh, man, we could do this all day. This got me thinking of the meme and things people put on social media where they say guys could just sit around all day and just say names all day. That's what we're doing right now, you know? Dikembe Mutombo, you know? Like, we could just do that for an hour.
No. let's see here. In both of the Kings' wins so far over the Nuggets, Monk has scored, I think he scored 23 and 26. So that seems to be part of this recipe for frying the Nuggets. The bench has been very productive. Monk has been part of that, but others have scored as well. And then De'Aaron Fox has, I think he had 16 assists the first time and then 10 last week. So those are three things that the Kings have done in both of those games. I don't know how important they are tonight, but that so far, those have been some of the keys to beating the Nuggets.
Yeah, and also, you know, look at the three-point shooting in the two games. Kings shooting better than 48%. The Nuggets only 29.6%.
There you go.
From three-point range. So I feel like the Kings have done a good job, you know, winning that three-point battle as well. And so there are a lot of things in the Kings' favor tonight. I mean, shorthanded Denver team. You got this team's number. It seems like, you know, you've been able to figure them out. Think about it. You beat them earlier in the season. Pretty early, and then you just beat them last week too, so it's not like, you know, you beat them two months ago and now they're a different team or anything like that. You've been able to play well against them, and I feel like Sabonis gets up for this matchup.
Yeah,
I think Scott Hastings mentioned that, you know, like, I think Domas understands that he's being compared a lot to the Joker, and so I'm looking for a big game from him.
And don't they, I don't have the exact numbers here, but they play the Nuggets like three times in the next 14 games or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we come back here in about 2 weeks. It's crazy. And played them Friday, play them tonight, and then I think 2 weeks from today, I think it's a Wednesday, 28th. Yeah, 28th. Yeah, 2 weeks, February 14th. Uh-huh. Valentine's Day, G-Man. Woo-hoo! G-Man just walked up. G-Man, real quick, and I don't have another mic for you just yet, but this has to be, G-Man, the hardest radio location to get to, my friend. It took me like 20 minutes to get up here to find this. I didn't know where you sat. I mean, you got a bird's eye view right here. You got a nice view of the court and everything, but man, how did you get up here?
Elevator. Right over here. It's really not that
You're
hard.
Killing me. I didn't see the elevator.
That's a veteran.
And the escalator wasn't working or anything. I walked up the steps. I was gassed when I got up here, man.
I think I made it in 2 minutes.
Yeah. That's right, the G-Man. Veteran.
All right.
That's
Thanks
how
for coming
done.
On the show. Thank you. Thank you, G-Man.
Thank you, G-Man.
I expected G-Man to walk up here, be all winded, out of breath like I was and everything. He's like, I just took the elevator right around the corner. I didn't even see it. I didn't even see it, G-Man. That's good stuff. Good stuff. See, that's why he's a veteran, man. You can learn something from the vets out here.
I know.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Matter-of-factly, that's how it's done, youngster. Yes.
Darn, I don't believe that. I literally won't, because they had the escalators, but I got here so early, the escalators weren't working yet. And so I'm like, shoot, I'm going to have to hoof it up these steps. And sure enough, I did it, but I was gassed. I was sweaty. That's why I had the T-shirt on to start the show, because I knew I'd be sweating up a storm.
How high up are you? Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but how high up are you?
Hold on, let me see if I can. I'll show you. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Let's see.
Yeah. That's a good shot. That's a good shot.
Basically,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 50-yard line, you're right at half court.
50-yard line, but I'm bird's eye level with the scoreboard, the jumbotron.
Oh, right.
That's when you know you're up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's getting a little frosty up there, huh? Yeah, for those who can't see here on the YouTube.
I'm already a mile high. We're in Denver, and now I'm like another mile up. It's like, come on, what's going on here?
You know, Denver is they do the last time I've been there, Southwest Airlines or what, like one of their sponsors. And you know how Golden One, they drop things from the roof. Southwest was one of the sponsors, and they would drop gift cards down at the Ball Arena. And so if you stay up there, which you can't now, but G-Man might be able to reach up and grab a couple of little Southwest Airline gift cards.
Yeah. Do you know who
Jay Johnson said they drop Southwest gift cards from the rafters sometimes.
Yeah.
So, G-Man, if you lay out and get a couple, help your boy out.
You know, our
at least you
friend,
could do that for me walking on up these steps like that. My God.
Might need a flight up there next time.
Yeah. The great Chris Watkins used to be one of the people that would drop those things from the Golden One rafters.
Really?
He would be one of the people that would drop those things down.
But they're not dropping Southwest Airline cards, though.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I think last time, it was probably a couple years ago, I went to a Nuggets game out there, and I was surprised. I was like, oh. And they were 100, 200, 500
what?
Denominations. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, all right. Impressive. I was at a Rivercats game one time, and this guy got a T-shirt. You know, the T-shirt can. This is a long time ago. And he opens a T-shirt. It wasn't even a Rivercats T-shirt. It's like some restaurant or something. Like, I don't
Sponsorship, brother. Advertising.
Sponsorship, right?
What is that? What is that? All right. What's your level of confidence in the Kings tonight, Drapes? Because I've given up. You know, I heard Frankie and Brendan and Stiles and Watkins talking today about, you know, pretty soon we're going to know the Kings. And I'm feeling like, I don't know, either we're never going to know them or this is it, that they're up, they're down, and you never know. So I don't know what to expect tonight.
I don't know what to expect either. I mean, let's keep it real. This team is consistently inconsistent. You know, I'm going to say a 7.5. You know, that's how confident I am in tonight. I do think last night left a bad taste in their mouth. I thought they played halfway decent last night. And, you know, ideally, going into the All-Star break, you want this team to get this win, because coming off losing 3 in a row, if you go into the All-Star break having lost 3 in a row, you know, you're already in 8th place in the Western Conference. I mean, you know, I said it last week when I was talking to Katie or pre- and post-game or something. You know, we talk about the stretch run being after the All-Star break. To me, the stretch run has already begun,
mm-hmm.
because this West is so difficult that, you know, you go on a 3-game losing streak, you know, you might be 9th, you know, by the time next week rolls around or something like that. So, I think the team has to respond tonight.
Drapes, how do you lose a game? Not to get bogged down in numbers, but, you know, I know I love box scores more than you, but last night the Kings out-rebounded the Suns 50-39. The Kings got up 95 shots, 10 more than the Suns, and the Kings shot 52% from the floor, only turned it over 13 times, and you end up losing that game. That's hard to do.
Hard to do, yes, but the team made 11 more free throws than you, because everything, the shooting percentages were pretty much, you know, even, you know, the Suns made a few more threes than you. You made some more twos than they did, but, you know, it comes down to the line, and I think they gave up 36 points in the fourth quarter.
That's correct.
Allowed the Suns to shoot 60% from the field in the fourth quarter. You know, I've always maintained that as the game goes on, your defense should be getting better. Your defense should be getting stronger. And so to allow them in a crucial, critical fourth quarter to shoot 60%, that's not going to get it done.
Okay, I've got a very it's not a pleasant question, but it must be asked, and I'll ask Kyle Draper when we come right back and wrap things up here. It's a Drive, guys, getting you ready for game night and the Kings and the Nuggets on Sacktown Sports. I've got a difficult question for you, Kyle Draper, if I may. Drapes is in Denver. Check him out tonight. Of course, he's play-by-play for the Nuggets and the Kings, NBC Sports California. And then we'll have the game for you, of course, here on Sacktown Sports. The Athletic, the power rankings, I don't spend a lot of time looking at power rankings, but it caught my eye that they have them in tiers. So tier one, these are the teams that, I think it's Zach Harper wrote this, the contenders, Boston, Minnesota, Clippers, Nuggets, and Oklahoma City. Tier two is brink of contention, we're talking about for the title, mm-hmm. Cleveland Bucks, Suns, Pelicans, Knicks. Then tier three says playoff teams, and it says these teams probably don't have to worry about slipping into the play-in. Dallas, Orlando, and Sacramento. And, you know, I hope that's the case. To be honest, when I saw that, I thought, whoa, you don't think the Kings are in danger of falling into the play-in? I mean, hopefully not, but I think that's certainly a reality we have to consider. So my question for you, again, I'm just asking the question, do we as Kings fans have to worry about the Kings falling all the way out of the play-in?
No. Did you say out of the play-in turn?
Yes.
Is that what you, Whitey?
I'm about asking
to have
question.
You turning your Sacramento Kings card. What are you talking? Out of the play-in?
I'm asking the question.
And I'm telling you the answer, Whitey. That would be ridiculous. That would be unfathomable.
Okay.
Like, for this Kings team to fall. And I understand the schedule's tough. I understand, you know, you got Denver a couple of times. You got the Clippers coming up after the All-Star break. You got some tough games. Minnesota coming up as well. But you got a little bit of a cushion between yourself and the Lakers right now. You got a cushion between yourself and the Golden State Warriors right now. I firmly believe that this All-Star break is going to do wonders for this Sacramento Kings team. And so I'm not too concerned. Like, I look at the Pelicans as the team that's overachieving right now, mm-hmm. that, you know, will fall off as the season goes on. I need to look at their schedule. I understand the Kings got, the fifth most difficult schedule remaining, but I can't see this team, you know, falling out of the playoffs.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And by the way, that whole metric of the most difficult schedule, fifth most difficult, you know, that varies game to game because, you know, you can have a game that looks like a really hard game, but then when you get to it, well, so-and-so's not playing or, you know, you just – so that doesn't – it doesn't hold as much water, I think, as a lot of people think it does. I agree with you But, you know, you look at the play-in right now. You brought this up yesterday. Right now in the play-in, you'd have Dallas and the Kings and the Lakers and the Warriors. You know, play-in, you'd think, well, that's kind of some teams that are just kind of around the margins trying to be respectable. So that's a really good field if that were the play-in field right now. After that, it goes Utah and Houston. And I have a hard time. You know, sometimes I get kind of pessimistic about things. But it's hard to see the Kings sliding all the way below Utah or Houston. That's hard to imagine.
You know what's crazy, Whitey? The top 10 are set. In my opinion, the top 10 are set.
I think so.
You know, Houston had a great start to the season, but I can't see them making a charge, making a push. Utah just sold off some pieces, so they're rebuilding. And so I think the top 10 is set. You know, to me, it's a race now for that 5-6 spot for Sacramento. I think the top four are set. We know the top four teams who they're going to beat. And so if the Kings fell out of the play-in, my God.
Play-in?
What are we talking? Come on now. Oh, Whitey,
you kidding
please.
Me? Play-in?
My gosh. Yeah. I'd say wake me up from this nightmare, right? There's zero chance that happens. I just can't see it.
Well, I was talking to somebody at the arena last week who was in one of those moods, you know, like, boy, this isn't going well. And they kind of brought that up. So I was just wondering what you thought of that. And I really, if I'm really, really being totally honest, it's hard to imagine. That said, as you mentioned, it sure would be nice. And this is the High Flyers' big thing. You want to finish in that top six. Everyone knows that. But, that makes such a difference.
No, 100%. And it makes such a difference because of what you just mentioned and I mentioned yesterday. Look at the talent you would have to play in the play-in tournament. It's not like you're playing, you know, a horrible team. You're playing some of the all-time greats, maybe LeBron James, maybe Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, who could go off for a 50-point triple-double on any given night. And so you want to avoid the play-in, I think, at all costs. You have to earn your way, and it's possible you could do it. But I'm looking at the standings right now. You know, give me the 4 or 5 matchup between Phoenix and Sacramento. I wouldn't be afraid of the Phoenix Suns. Like, I feel like we play them tough. You know, if we had the 6-3 matchup with the Clippers, now that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But, you know, I don't want a one game to move on against LeBron or Steph or Luka. I just don't want that.
I said before the season started the Kings would be 5th and they'd play OKC and they would be 4th in the first round. I don't know about that, but I would sure take that. By the way, right now on ESPN NBA Countdown, they have a question. The question isn't, have the Warriors gotten their splash back? It's, how have the Warriors gotten their splash back? So everybody's very high on the surging Warriors, and they have. Obviously, in all fairness, they didn't get LeBron at the deadline, which they apparently attended, but they've won 5 in a row. Lakers have won 2 in a row. Pelicans have won 2 in a row. Minnesota's won 3 in a row. So you just can't go into anything close to any kind of losing streak and expect to fare well in this Western Conference right now.
I tell you what, though, man. The Warriors, they must be the luckiest team alive because they got a big matchup with the Clippers and no Kawhi Leonard tonight.
Hmm.
The Warriors have been beaten up on bad teams missing stars. They had the one nice win against Phoenix when Steph hit the dagger.
Miracle win.
They should have lost that game. Other than that, they've beaten some so-so teams. And so they're going to catch a break tonight. I'm still not sold on the Warriors at all. They're playing better basketball. You know, I still think Draymond is a loose cannon. At some point, he's going to, you know, explode. And so I'm not worried about the Warriors catching the Kings, to be honest with you. I think here's the thing with the Kings, Whitey. They are good enough to beat anybody. And so when you watch the Kings play and watch them, let's say, lose games, it's not about the opponent. It's about them. It's about them needing to be better. It's about them, you know, not turning the ball over. It's about them making free throws down the stretch. It's about them doing a better job in perimeter defense. I don't think they go into any game and we're like, oh, they're overmatched. They have no shot. No, they could beat anybody if they play good basketball.
They just need Keegan to be more consistent. and more aggressive.
Yeah.
And that needs to be something that you can count on night in and night out, because he definitely has that in his makeup. I'm not saying he's going to average 27 a game, but that's a guy that you know he's going to get 18 to 20. That's definitely something that we know already. I believe that that's something he's capable of.
Right.
And it's just, you know, he makes strides towards that and has those big nights. And then, and, you know, February, he's been searching.
Yeah, he's been searching. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if it's Mike Brown running things for him or, you know, Keegan himself taking more of a role. Like, you know, one thing I wonder about this Kings team, too, is who's our hype man? Who's our vet in somebody's ear saying, yo, you're nice, you're the dude. Like, who's the guy building players up? Who's the locker room leader? Who's the guy that, you know, inspires players? You know, I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Malik. Maybe it's De'Aaron, you know, because him and Keegan are close. But I think Keegan needs a shot of, yo, you're the man. You're the dude out here. Go be it. You know, I think Doug Christie does a great job of that as an assistant coach. But I wonder if we have any players that, you know, uplift the guys in that way as well.
Well, Drapes, you have a great call tonight. We're looking forward to having you back with us tomorrow. Good luck to the Kings. Stick around because game night with the High Flyer and Scott Marsh is next right here as we get you ready for the Kings and the Nuggets on Sacktown Sports.